Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY27 earnings conference call for Updater Services Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Before we begin, a brief disclaimer. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance, and it may involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Raghunandan Tangiala, Promoter and MD of Updater Services Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Good morning, all of you, and welcome to Updater Services Limited Q1 FY27 earnings call. Joining me are Amitabh Jayapuria, our Senior Executive Director, Ram Praveen, our CFO, Elizabeth Jacob, and Sunil Munshi, CEOs of Athena and Denave, and our IR advisors from SGA. I hope you've had a chance to review our investor presentation, and the results are also available on the exchanges and our website. Before we get into the industry highlights and performance for the quarter, I would like to share that the board has approved an interim dividend of ₹1. This reflects our company's commitment to disciplined capital allocation, growth-led investment, and long-term value creation while maintaining a strong balance sheet. Turning to the IFM industry, Q1 FY27 saw a healthy momentum driven by growth, driven by strong commercial real estate activity, GCC expansion, rising enterprise outsourcing, and continued industrial and manufacturing investment in India. India's office market stayed resilient with strong leasing from MNCs, tech firms, and GCCs, seeking comprehensive workplace solutions across engineering, housekeeping, maintenance, and energy management. We also saw continued consolidation towards integrated technology enablement outsourcing, and large enterprises favor single strategic partners for their efficiency and governance. A trend benefiting organized players like us over the fragmented unorganized sector. Now, let me get deeper into our IFM division. During the quarter, our IFM business continued to benefit from these long-term industry tailwinds. We added six new significant logos during Q1 FY27. For Q1 FY27, the IFM revenue from operations grew by 11%, accounting for 525 crores. The growth was driven by new client additions across diversified industries, higher volume from large-scale contracts, and continued focus on cost optimization. EBITDA for Q1 FY27 stood at 24 crores, with a margin of about 4.5%. Our priorities within IFM for the quarter and for the year ahead remain unchanged. We continue to deepen relationships with existing customers, improving client-level profitability, optimizing manpower deployment through our technology-led interventions, deepening wallet share with existing marquee clients, and continuing to shift our mix towards higher-margin specialized technical services. Yeah, technology continues to play a central role in enhancing our operational excellence. We are increasingly leveraging digital workflow platforms, AI-enabled workforce management, predictive maintenance tools, and automation to improve service quality, optimize manpower deployment, and strengthen productivity across client locations. Looking ahead, we remain confident of delivering healthy growth in IFM, supported by strong industry tailwinds, increasing outsourcing penetration, and expanded opportunities across industrial manufacturing, infrastructure, and commercial real estate. Turning to global flight handling, the aviation ecosystem stayed supportive this quarter, with healthy domestic traffic and airlines improving fleet utilization and connectivity, supporting steady momentum for our airport services business. Global continued strengthening its footprint across operational airports while expanding into higher value training and aviation support services, including security training and regulatory certification that complements our core ground handling operations. We are proud to report Global's highest ever profitability, EBITDA of 9%, up from 5% last year, driven by higher margin non-scheduled flights and strong seasonal traffic. All 23 airports are now operational and are generating revenue. Moving on to Avon, the core mailroom management and integrated support service business continued to demonstrate resilience during the quarter, supported by long-standing client relationship, consistent service delivery, and improving operational excellence. Before turning to performance, I would like to highlight that this legacy business is showing resilience and remains on a growth path even as the transport business has been completely shut off. Revenue from operations for the quarter grew 10% year-on-year, reflecting a steady demand across core service offerings. During the quarter, Avon also continued to strengthen its portfolio by increasing the contributions of higher margin value-added services, particularly in enterprise transport and logistics solutions. This strategic shift is expected to enhance the overall quality of revenues, improve profitability, and deepen customer engagement. As we move through the rest of FY27, we remain confident that this expanding mix of value-added services will support our sustainable growth and margin improvement for the business. I will now like to hand over the call to Mr. Amitabh for an update on our BSS segment.
Thank you, Raghu. And good morning, everyone. I'll quickly deep dive into what has happened in the BSS segment, and then I will hand over to Mr. Sunil Munshi, who is our CEO for Dinay, and then to Elizabeth Jacob, who is the founder and CEO of our other sales enablement business, which is Athena. Turning to business support services for Q1 FY27, this is the first full quarter where we operated under our BSS simplified structure, with Dinay, Athena, and Matrix all reporting directly into the senior leadership team. Over the last year, we have undertaken several structural initiatives to simplify our operating structure, strengthen leadership, improve governance, and enhance profitability across all our businesses. I'm glad to say that these initiatives are beginning to show encouraging progress and early trends of consistent confidence as we look to the year. Across our BSS portfolio, the common strategic theme continues to be technology-led transformation as well as organizational simplification. We have added 4 new significant logos during the first quarter. The BSS segment revenue from operations for Q1 FY27 reached around 253 crores, and EBITDA for the division stood at 19 crores with a margin of 7.5% as compared to 6.9% during the last similar quarter, Q1 of last year. This reflects improvement and shows good signs for the future. This is also because of a sustained cost optimization campaign that we have been running and which is the result of our simplified organization structure as well. Our sales enablement business under Dinay reported a revenue of 161 crores, registering an 18% year-on-year growth with an EBITDA of 7 crores and an EBITDA margin of 4.3%. During the quarter, the company's strategic initiatives began translating into results, with IntelliBank, which is our AI-forward product, witnessing increased client acceptance and also improved performance. The revenue of our sales enablement business under Athena, which is our BFSI focused B2B business, which we run mainly for banks, insurance companies, etc., in FY27 stood at 28 crores with an EBITDA of 5 crores and an EBITDA margin of 18%. During the quarter, we secured and commenced execution of our first agentic AI engagement, with implementation beginning in May and continuing through June. I would like to highlight that we are seeing green shoots and seeing increased inquiries for both our traditional services as well as agentic AI. So the growth pipeline looks good. Matrix delivered a stable operational performance during a challenging demand environment. Revenue for the quarter grew 2% and is stable quarter on quarter. However, EBITDA increased by around 76%, primarily due to cost-saving initiatives, better processes, and tighter vendor cost discipline, especially in our EBGC business. The EBGC business continued to perform broadly in line with expectations. This quarter witnessed improvement in revenue growth of 9% year-on-year. You will remember that in the previous quarters, this revenue growth has not been strong because of the IT hiring scenario. But we are seeing green shoots there. And this was also supported by a pickup in hiring in some of our tech clients during the quarter. Within the audit and assurance business, revenue declined marginally by about 2% during the quarter. The primary reason was the postponement of several large client audits, with projects originally scheduled for May getting deferred to June and July. With that brief overview, I will hand the call over to Mr. Sunil Munshi, CEO of our Dinev organization, to take you through the business highlights of Dinev in detail, and then he will hand it over to Elizabeth Jacob for Athena. So Sunil, over to you.
Thanks, Amitabh. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm pleased to provide you all an update on Dinev's performance and the strategic progress that we made during the first quarter of FY27. The global sales enablement industry does continue to undergo one of its most significant transformation in recent years. While we see the enterprises still remaining disciplined in their discretionary spending, there is a clear shift towards investments that promise that improve sales productivity, customer engagement, and obviously measurable revenue outcomes. Across industries, organizations have been increasingly moving away from traditional linear sales models towards more of AI-assisted, insight-driven revenue generation models. So rather than simply, expanding sales teams today, we see all the enterprises looking to make more salesperson significantly productive through automation, through intelligent analytics, through data-driven decision-making models, so on and so forth. And this structural transition aligns well with Dinev's long-term strategy. Over the last few years, if we see, we've been consciously transforming Dinev from a conventional demand-gen organization to a technology-enablement revenue execution partner, which combines our domain expertise with AI-powered platforms and, of course, intelligent sales workflows. Now, coming to this quarter, during this particular quarter, Dinev, we delivered a strong performance with revenues growing 18% year-on-year. Growth supported by our demand generation and field marketing services businesses, both of which continue to gain traction and as we also keep on adding new logos. On margins, we saw pressure during the quarter driven by two factors. First, a change in business mix, a greater skew towards field marketing services, which operates at a low margin. Second, budget planning of one of our large customers in tech services also have been affected. During this quarter, we drove a focused cost rationalization initiative also in the organization to improve operational efficiencies and EBITDA, and we remain quite confident that this will translate into continued improvement in profitability going forward on a long-term basis also. On the demand side, we continue to witness healthy client engagement, especially across our enterprise customer base. While technology spending, we still see spending remaining selective in certain global markets, clients are increasingly prioritizing projects that demonstrate faster return on investment, improved pipeline conversion, and higher sales productivity. And this is precisely where our AI-led enablement IFM-enabled services portfolio continues to differentiate itself in the market. One of the key pillars of our transformation remains, of course, the IntelliBank, our proprietary AI-led sales intelligence platform. Over the past few quarters, we further enhanced IntelliBank by expanding our intelligence capabilities, improving buyer intent identification, enriching decision-making, maker mapping, and of course, strengthening the analytics, predictive analytics that helps. Finally, the sales team to prioritize their high probability opportunity, thereby improving productivity and delivering high outcomes to the clients. We also did continue to improve our CRM integrations, which means enabling our seamless synchronization across various client sales ecosystems and therefore delivering richer pipeline visibility with actionable insights. And our automation capabilities are definitely also helping us reduce manual intervention, which is helping in turn to improve time to market, improve campaign execution speed and delivery, hence high quality sales engagements for our clients. While the external environments continue to evolve, the long-term demand drivers for AI-enabled sales transformation remain exceptionally strong in the market. And we at Deniv remain committed to help our customers therefore accelerate revenue growth while continuing to build a stronger, more technology-led enabled Deniv. Thank you, and I will now hand over to CEO and founder member of Athena, Elizabeth Chacka. Over to you, Elizabeth.
Thank you, Sunil. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. I'm pleased to provide an update on Athena's performance and the progress we made during the first quarter of financial year 27. The customer engagement industry continues to undergo a structural transformation. Across industries, enterprises are increasingly re-imaging how they acquire, engage, and retain customers in an environment where customer expectations continue to evolve rapidly. Organizations today are no longer evaluating customer engagement purely based on service delivery costs. Instead, they are increasingly prioritizing customer experience, personalization, faster response times, higher conversion rates, and measurable business outcomes. On the business development front, we secured two new client wins during this quarter. Both contracts commenced in July and carry an initial tenure of 2 years, providing healthy revenue visibility going forward. We secured and commenced execution of our first agentic AI engagement with implementation beginning in May and continuing through June. We are also pleased to share that another agentic AI project has received customer approval and is expected to go live in August. Beyond these wins, we are actively engaging with several existing customers to expand the adoption of our agentic AI solutions. While enterprise customers have shown strong interest, these engagements typically involve approval cycles of around 2 or 3 months. We remain confident that this is the pipeline will translate into meaningful business opportunities over the coming quarters. While the BFSI sector continues to remain an important part of our business, we have steadily progressed in diversifying our customer portfolio across industries such as real estate, retail, consumer products, and other emerging sectors. This diversification remains a strategic priority as it broadens our addressable market, reduces the concentration risk, and enhances the overall quality and the resilience of our revenue base. Another important trend we continue to observe is the growing demand for omni-channel customer engagement. Customers today expect seamless interactions across voice, email, chat, messaging platforms, and digital channels. Organizations are therefore looking for partners capable of delivering integrated customer engagement solutions, which are supported by analytics, automation, and AI-driven decision-making. Athena is well positioned to capitalize on this shift through our expanding digital capabilities and technology-led delivery model. Innovation continues to remain at the core of our strategy. As enterprises continue their digital transformation journeys, we believe these capabilities will become increasingly important differentiators. Looking ahead, we remain optimistic about the opportunities We remain committed to continuously strengthening our capabilities, expanding into newer verticals, and building Athena into one of the leading technology-enabled customer engagement platforms in the region. Thank you, and I will now hand over the call to Amitabh to give an update on Matrix.
Sorry to interrupt. We cannot hear.
Did you hear me?
I am so sorry. I was on
mute.
Yeah. So thanks, Elizabeth. I'm happy to give a quick update on Matrix. As you know, our Matrix business has two sub-segments. One is audit and assurance, and the other is EBGC. During the quarter, if you compare it with the previous quarter, we have grown about 2%, but profitability has rebounded quite sharply. And right now, our margins have also improved quite sharply. So from 2.4 crores in the same quarter last year, we are now at 4.2 crores and margins instead of 7.6% now are at a 13.1%. So therefore, we are seeing a revival in this business, primarily driven by EBGC. But let me start by giving a very quick piece on audit and assurance, and we'll then come to EBGC. In audit and assurance, the quarter's main challenge were timing related, as mentioned earlier, and a few large audits scheduled for May have been deferred to June and July. This is not genuinely a demand issue, but largely a timing issue. We continue to see a healthy pipeline from large multinational audits and in sectors like food and automobile. To support this, we have also built a dedicated sales team to strengthen customer acquisition and deepen client engagement. Results are expected in H2 of 27, and you will start seeing those trends. In EBGC, as mentioned earlier, the business has picked up quite nicely, but we continue to see subdued hiring in banking and the BPO segments, along with mixed IT trends, which has impacted our overall volumes. But IT has come back to some extent, and we have seen turnovers and a number of cases that are being referred to us on an upward trend. We have also been extremely cost focused, and we have like we explained about Dinev, even here in this business we have been very, very cost focused, simplification focused, and organization focused in terms of making us more agile. All of those have started showing clear results. EBGC is inherently tied to hiring cycles, as you know, and we are building a more agile technology-enabled model. AI integration is also now beginning to pay dividends. Over the medium term, we remain focused on improving profitability through revenue growth, of course, because it's a scale game, as we have been talking about in EBGC, and of course, a richer business mix, digitalization, and disciplined cost management. So all in all, we are seeing good progress in Matrix, which had been a drag in our previous quarters, but beginning to look good. I'll hand it over back to Raghu for his concluding remarks.
Thank you, Amitabh. Thank you, Sunil and Elizabeth, for the updates. In summary, Q1 FY27 has been a quarter of steady execution of our data services. We delivered a 9% year-on-year revenue growth to 764 crores with a healthy momentum across both IFM and BSS while continuing to invest in technology, talent and structural simplification to strengthen the business for the long term. With strong industry tailwinds across our end markets, a diversified and resilient portfolio, and a robust balance sheet, we remain confident in our ability to deliver sustainable, profitable growth in the years ahead. Before I conclude, I would like to reiterate our continued commitment to strong corporate governance. Over the past year, we have taken deliberate steps to simplify our organization, strengthen leadership accountability, and improve transparency across our businesses, as reflected in the consolidation of BSS portfolio under a unified leadership team this quarter. Our disciplined capital allocation reflected in the board's approval of an interim dividend offer to reward all our shareholders and our continued net cash position. Along with our compliance-first culture across all business segments, remains central to how we operate and create long-term value for all our stakeholders. Now, I'd like to hand over the call to Ram, our CFO, for give you an overview on the financials. Over to you, Ram.
Thank you, Raghu, and good afternoon, everyone. I will take you through the financial highlights for the quarter FY 2027. The revenue from operations for the quarter FY 2027 grew by 9% year-over-year to 764 crores as compared to 700 crores in comparative period, Q1 FY 2026. The IFM segment grew by 11% year-over-year to 525 crores, and the BSS segment grew by 7% year-over-year to 253 crores. The revenue split between these two segments stood in the same range of 67% to 33%, directionally similar to the same percentages compared to the earlier quarter. Consolidated EBITDA for Q1 FY 2027 stood at 42 crores. EBITDA margin for the quarter is at 5.5%, that is 42 crores. At segment level, IFM segment EBITDA stood at 4.5%, that is approximately 24 crores, while the BSS segment is at 7.5%, that is approximately 19 crores. The consolidated PAT for the quarter is at 30.3 crores for the Q1 FY 2027. Coming back to the return on capital employed is at 16.1% for the quarter. UDS continues to remain a net cash company with a good balance sheet and on a long-term basis. Net debt to equity stood at -0.24 as of June 2026, reflecting our strong cash position and generation during the quarter. On headcount, we have crossed 76,991, with 20,000 on dot coming from IFM segment and 16,700 odd from the BSS segment. With that, I would like to open the floor for questions.
Thanks, Ram. Back to the organizer of the call. We are open for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Love Gupta from Counter Cyclical Investments. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for the opportunity. Firstly, I wanted to understand the margin improvements on the BSS side and Matrix particularly. Is this sustainable going forward? On the IFM side, we've mentioned that we've had some moderation due to addition of employees. Is that now done and we can see some improvement going forward?
I'll take that. In Matrix, the improvement. See, if you look at the history of how this business has performed, and this will just give you some confidence. If you look at Q1 last year, we were at 11.4 crores. Q4 last year, we were at 11.7, and Q1 this year, we are at 12.5. Over the year, you can see that the volumes are picking up. Similarly, if you look at our gross margin percentage, in Q1 last year, we were at about 12%. Q4 last year, we were at about 17%, and Q1 this year, we are at about 20%. Therefore, improvements in margin as well as improvements in the revenue number. In the past, Love, you will remember that we have been always saying that EBGC is a business of volumes. As you get more volumes, the cost structure largely remains flattish. Therefore, what happens is that the margins start improving quite nicely. We believe that this margin profile is sustainable also on the back of a lot of cost optimization that we are doing at our back end. For this year, we do believe that these volumes and these margins are sustainable. As far as the overall IFM numbers are concerned, you're absolutely right. IFM margins are, they have been slightly depressed. Overall margins, if you look at Q1 over Q1, we are at 23.6 crores EBITDA versus 23.1. So there is a marginal improvement in EBITDA. But on the PAT basis, of course, we are at 20 crores versus 20.7 in the same quarter last year. So margins have been stable, minor variations, also because of some front-ending of costs and some front-ending of contracts in some cases, what tends to happen. So these are normal business variations. At this margin level, we do believe that we will not decline any further.
All right, sir. The second question would be, what are our plans to utilize our cash? I believe it was above 200 crore cash balance that we hold. So how do we intend to utilize that and any acquisitions planned this year?
So we do have a cash balance of upwards of 300 crores. Plans to utilize that, we have briefly mentioned that in the last call as well, that there will basically be three large buckets. Three buckets in which this cash will get utilized. One remains inorganic. The second bucket will be brownfield growth, which means organic growth. So whether it is in accelerating our product development, technology transformation, as well as building a sharper go-to-market team to actually develop some markets and business. So that will be the brownfield piece where we'll be investing money. The third, of course, is to reward shareholders. We have made a small beginning with this board meeting and with this result, with this quarter, where we have declared a dividend of 1 rupee per share, which will take away about 7 crores of cash. So this is a small beginning. It's an interim dividend. But rewarding shareholders while continuing to use and deploy cash mainly to drive growth, both internal and organic growth, as well as inorganic growth, that remains the use of our cash. That is the cash allocation strategy.
So on the third point of rewarding shareholders, are we planning or considering any buyback of shares?
Right now, there is no proposal to buy back shares in front of the board, and there is not a discussion on this. But this is not to say that we will never do it. These are various mechanisms exist to reward shareholders. At the appropriate time, all of these mechanisms and tools are being considered and will continue to be considered by the board.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants to press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Adina Chauhan from JJ Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I have a couple of questions. So firstly, how do you expect current revenue mix between IFM versus BSS, which is currently 67% and 33%, going to evolve over the next 2 to 3 years?
So our revenue mix at roughly 2/3, 1/3 has actually been quite steady over the past few years. Going forward, we expect this to continue because both our businesses are, we believe, can grow low double-digit numbers, which is in the region of around 9, 10, 11, 12%. So therefore, we do believe that this mix will probably continue.
Okay. So second question is on, for Athena, can agentic AI become a meaningful revenue contributor over the next 3 years? And what margin profile should investors expect?
So we do believe that agentic AI will become an important part of how we deliver to our customers. However, at this particular point in time, we are not seeing any wholesale replacement of human agents, especially in the BFSI sector, and we don't see this happening in the near term. That said, Athena is right now at the forefront of experimenting with agentic AI for various other segments. For example, incoming service calls, for example, things like customer satisfaction surveys and other such areas where adoption will be faster. So I will invite Elizabeth to just add a quick 2-3 lines to how she is seeing agentic AI evolve.
Hi, agentic AI today for BFSI clients is primarily used for outcalling customers to qualify leads before and getting consent to call. In the service area, what we're doing is replacing human agents for answering repetitive queries. So basically, both the sites, there is utilization. One, where the client is looking at, getting qualified data using outbound for the BFSI sector, and inbound, where repetitive queries can be answered on the phone.
Thank you.
Got it.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Sorry.
Yeah. No, thank you. That answers. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, sir and ma'am, for the details and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Diksha Motwani from Siddhant Partners. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, we can hear you, Diksha.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity. My question is, there is a reduction in EBITDA of BSS, EBITDA margin, from 11.5% in March to 7.5% in June. Any specific reasons, and is this the going normal EBITDA for BSS?
No, so if you look at the margin reduction, yes, it is. The answer really lies in what happened with Avon. So in Avon, the last quarter, there was a restatement, as you know. So what that has done is that has actually added to last year's number, the Q4 number, and that is why the comparison looks skewed. If you take that impact out, then actuals last year, Q4 26 BSS segment delivered an EBITDA of 19.1 crore. And this year we have delivered 18.9 crores. So the margin profile is largely similar and the EBITDA numbers are also largely similar. So it's because of an exceptional, unnatural item in last year's Q4, which is where you're seeing the skew.
Okay. Another question is, there is increase in the other expenses. So any one-time expenses is there?
In other expenses?
Hello. Yes.
Give me, this is Ram here. This is largely due to restructuring expenses as well as the provisions that have been taken for the transport segment in last year FY 26 versus this quarter FY 27.
Okay. Any update on the acquisition?
So the conversation that we have been having at this particular point in time, that deal is on hold because there are differences in terms of valuation. As you know, we are a conservative acquirer and we do not believe in overpaying for any acquisition. And there is a disagreement in terms of what the final value should look like. So therefore, right now we have put the deal on hold. It may revive if there is a positive movement. At the same time, we continue to look at other acquisitions. and we do have a pipeline that we are looking at.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Aryan Vijan from RV Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir.
Yes, Aryan. Go ahead.
My question is on the GCC. You have mentioned, what do you think about this sector and how do you feel that this sector will go in the future?
Aryan, you are asking about the EBGC sector?
GCC, Global Capability Center.
Oh, GCC. Sorry. Okay, yeah, I understand. So GCCs, of course, are becoming quite a large consumer of office space in this country. In fact, there are reports that they now account for almost half of total A and A-plus grade office leasing in this country. Our exposure to GCCs is actually limited. Because as we have been explaining in the past, out of the five core segments of the IFM business, we are strong in industrials, in warehousing, as well as in infrastructure. In the commercial side, our exposure is low. And on the residential side, we don't operate. So therefore, while it's growing, we are now rejigging our entire business development effort and team to focus on growth and emerging segments. The GCC focus will be also a part of that. So right now, it's not impacting us too much, but we are looking at it. We have put in place a team which will start looking at growth opportunities, including GCC.
And sir, can you just provide this year's guidance?
Sorry?
Guidance for this year.
We normally don't give formal guidance. I think we'll continue with that. What we have said, you can take our Q1 number as an indication, as an indicator. And that is what you can perhaps extrapolate, but we are not giving formal guidance.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. A reminder to all the participants to press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Yash Mishra from SKS Capital and Research. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, Yash, you are audible.
Just one single question. So, do you have any comments on the SIS acquisition? SIS acquiring the stake via public market in UDS?
So I will, open the comments and then Raghu, can quickly add to that. So SIS has been acquiring our shares. That's public knowledge. At this particular point in time, there is no conversation between us and them, which is spurring this acquisition. What they have been talking about, as we understand it, is that this is a treasury operation and that they see great value in the UDS shares, especially at these kinds of beaten down values that right now we have on the market. So they are using it, they are seeing it as an investment is what we understand. We are not reading too much into it. There is no deal on the table. Also, Mr. Tangirala, our founder and our chairperson, he and his family continue to own 59.1% of the equity. And therefore, there is no conversation about any kind of a sale or a deal or any kind of a M&A action. Having said that, I will hand it over to Raghu to add.
Yeah, thanks, Amitabh. I have got nothing to add over what Amitabh has said. What we understand is that that is their treasury operation. That's all we know, and there is nothing else to, nothing to add anything to this. That's all we know about.
Okay. Thank you for the explanation.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manoj Jetwa from KSA Shares and Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, and thank you for the good set of numbers. So my question is on the use of agentic AI in Deniv Athena, and what would be the prospects for going ahead in our service offering, sir? Can you share some thought process on it, sir?
Yeah. So we are seeing agentic AI in two different ways. We are seeing agentic AI as a great opportunity for us to enter segments which earlier we were not playing in. For example, we were not playing into the inbound segment. We were really not playing into the service segment or even the collection segments. Through agentic AI, it offers an opportunity for us to enter these segments without committing to large real estate and without committing to a large number of people, etc. So we see it as an opportunity, as a business opportunity. The second way in which we are looking at agentic AI is really in terms of cost optimization, better quality calls, and faster closures and more productivity for our outbound calling operation that we have for our existing customers. Because what agentic AI does do at the background is that it enables you to monitor, for example. Sorry, was there some comment? Okay, somebody's phone was probably on not on mute. So on the other side, we see agentic AI as an optimization tool, as a productivity tool, and which helps us to close faster in terms of our calls and to make our calls more productive. Because it gives more information, it gives conversational guides, and it basically allows us to also target better in terms of which customers to call first and which customers to call later. So those are the kinds of areas in which we are seeing agentic AI helping us. So at this particular point in time, we are not seeing it as a threat at all. We see it as an opportunity, both on the cost side and on the revenue side.
Thank you. That's all.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhinav Mandowara from Acuitas Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just one question from my side. It was regarding, I was reading a lot of articles in the last few months that there was a lot of labor shortage and labor hikes, wage hikes across multiple states. So had that impacted anywhere in our Q1, considering most of our contracts are passed through? And how do you see the labor shortage and any outlook on that?
So clearly, Abhinav, you're absolutely right. And, you have clearly been staying updated. So there is a labor shortage in many states. There are labor surplus states in this country and there are labor short states in this country. So if you look at the southern and the western markets, also the NCR market, there is a clear shortage of labor. On the other hand, there is still some surplus labor available in eastern India, northeast India in particular, as well as Bengal and to some extent Jharkhand, Bihar, Orissa. So we have recruitment teams in these states which actually help us recruit there and redeploy in the labor shortage areas, in the labor shortage states. That said, labor shortages are real. And there are many areas, for example, if you look at Gujarat, if you look at some areas of Tamil Nadu, if you look at some areas of Maharashtra, finding labor is an issue. So, but as you rightly pointed out, our model is a pass-through model. Customers are also beginning to understand that they have to cater to this migrant set of labor and therefore improve costs and be able to also offer other facilities, whether it is food, whether it is transport, or even in some cases, stay arrangements. So we are working with our customers to ensure that their requirements are met. But the shortage is real.
Okay. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Diya Jain from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I just wanted to understand if there is any seasonality in the business. For example, the hiring cycles or the audit season. So can you please explain a bit?
So, yeah, there is some seasonality in some parts of our business. So there is seasonality, for example, in our catering business, right? So in Q1, catering usually is, it's low because it's also gone through some amount of, campus closures, vacations, et cetera, et cetera. So that business does have seasonality. There is also seasonality in some of our IFM businesses as well as in some of our BSS businesses, because Q2, Q3 traditionally are the festive seasons and festive demand does peak. So many of our customers are exposed to the consumption side of the economy, and we do see increased demand for people, increased demand for services, increased demand for campaigns to be run in our sales enablement businesses. So there is some seasonality. I mean, it's not massive, but it's certainly there.
Okay, sir. Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. The next follow-up question is from the line of Diksha Motwani from Siddhant Partners. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, Diksha, go ahead.
I have Mehul Desai from Siddhant Partners.
Yes, Mehul.
Sir, wanted to understand on this tax expense. If we look at it from Q4 versus Q1, there is a significant shift. So if you can throw some light on that.
Yeah, one moment.
Yeah. So the tax expense compared to the... So if you see the standalone financial statement, the tax expense is lower compared to the last quarter. This is in continuation with the tax benefit that flows through for this service, manpower intense service industry. So as for our count of headcount employees increases, and we are trying to retain them, the benefit flows through gradually into the system. That's the major driver for the improvement in the tax expense.
Okay, okay, so that is only standalone. And how about Consol? So Consol, if you look at it, it's down from, I think, 88 crores net to 28 crores. Million, sorry.
So you are seeing quarter over quarter, right? So if you see last quarter.
Quarter on quarter.
Quarter on quarter, that is an increase. Because out of our entire nine group companies within our UDS group, couple of entities only will go through this manpower benefit that comes through tax. The other are all fall under the normal tax rate bucket. And hence the mix, for example, Matrix, which is your clean driver for the current quarter profit, is doesn't get any benefit from your manpower tax benefit. So your mix has also played a role in the movement in the tax expense when you see the consolidated position.
Understood. So YOY, if we look at it for a full year, there is no major change in the effective tax rate. It remains the same, right?
It will be
the quarterly variance.
Correct. You're right.
And sir, a follow-up on the previous question, wherein the A1-related expenses which you mentioned and the revenue. So if you look at the expense, ideally the expense would have been higher in Q4, right, vis-a-vis Q1. So is there some spillover of A1 in current quarter as well?
No. No, there is no spillover. The A1... the transportation related A1, either revenue or expenses, everything has been squared, adjusted in the last financial year. Whatever you see in the current current quarter is only from the erstwhile business of mailroom service and other business support services.
Understood. So, sir, what could be the reason then for this expense thing? Because in our previous question, you mentioned there is an impact of A1 in Q4 vis-a-vis Q1. In Q4, I think it shows the other expense of 83, which are in Q1.
I'll try.
But in the business, more or less, I'll remain the same.
Yeah, I'll briefly touch upon that. If you see Q4 versus Q1, in Q4, what we did is that we restated the revenue that got booked in the transportation business of A1 in Q1 of FY26. So that on a full year basis, it has been nullified. So on a quarter-on-quarter basis, the reversal has to come in some quarter, which is your Q4. That's where we took the call and finalized. We restated the individual A1 balance sheet. But on a consolidated basis, we just reversed the Q1 revenue with the Q4 revenue. And again, if you see the quarter over quarter performance, sequential quarters, Q4 versus Q1, you see this glitch over there. Otherwise, on a full year basis, the A1 transportation impact has been taken care of in the last year. Whatever you see from current year onwards is only the existing business, the erstwhile business of mailroom services and business support services.
So what would be the, I would say, Q4 number excluding A1 reversal?
I had mentioned that if you look at the overall number in BSS.
Not the margin, Amitabh sir. So I'm referring to the expense number. What Ram sir is saying is that there was some reversal of expenses of A1 in Q4, resulting in a decline.
So, then it should be around 9.8 crores. I can, yeah.
Okay, so excluding A1, it was 9.8. Understood.
The A1
push,
yes.
Understood, sir. That
helps.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, due to paucity of time, we take that as the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
Yeah,
Raghu, closing comments.
Yes. Thank you, all of you. Thank you for participating in this Q1 earnings call. We continue to see your involvement in the business and the questions you ask. So we would definitely hope to do better than every quarter will do better performance we've done. So thank you. That's it from me.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Okay, thank you everyone.
Thank you. On behalf of Strategy Growth Advisors Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.